Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series of That One Play. Today, we've got a great one for you. The 108-yard interception return by Ed Reed against the Eagles in 2008. Part of an iconic season from Ed Reed, and certainly an iconic play. Here to talk about it with me is Alan. You know him as Moonlight Graham from Twitter. Alan, how you doing?
Really good. How are you, Ken?
No complaints at all. A great play. I cannot believe no one chose it before you, but no one did. And that's the nature of a lot of people out there. Hey, get your play in. There's a lot from Ravens history that still has not been covered, even though these have been a lot of fun. So, Alan, kind of take us through where the Ravens were coming into that point in the 2008 season, maybe a little bit about Reed and the game up to that point.
Well, you know, 2008 was kind of a fun year. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of expectations coming off a down year. You know, Harbaugh had just been hired. We have a new quarterback. I think we all saw that we had something in Flacco after a couple games. The team was generally playing decent ball that year. But, you know, there were kind of some nagging questions. I mean, the Ravens had just come off a really bad loss against the Giants. And earlier in the year, two or three, four games before that, I know they got totally demolished in Indianapolis. So there were some questions there. But, you know, the team was playing pretty decent. I think we were 6-4 or something. And, you know, the Philly game, you know, that was something of a defensive battle, as I remember. You know, I was in my usual seat in section 536 in the west end zone. And there was an Eagles fan that was in broker seats next to me. And, you know, it was funny. He was draped in a full-size Eagles flag, and he was jumping up and down, making a fair amount of noise. You know, I do remember that, you know, Donovan McNabb was benched at quarterback at halftime. And, you know, that came as a surprise to me, but not to the Philly fan. He was really hooping it up and hollering and excited that Kevin Cobb was going to pull this one out. Yeah, and at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you know, I think the outcome was still in doubt. And midway through the quarter, we were up two touchdowns, but, you know, Cobb was driving. Kevin Cobb. Eagles were inside the 1 yard line. And I think the nose of the ball is right up against the goal line. And as I watched on the video board, because I was clear across the field, I couldn't see the action very well. And I was thinking, well, here's a run coming. It's going to be a one score game in a minute. And then he surprised me. Cobb surprised me by going play action. And, you know, Ed Reed, you could see right away, he wasn't fooled in the slightest. And he jumped the route, caught the pass in stride. And, you know, watching Ed fight his way up the sideline for about 40 yards, it seemed like it took an eternity. You know, but as he broke clear into the middle of the field, you know, I couldn't help but think of his 106-yard pick six against Cleveland a couple years earlier. You know, that was an NFL record as the longest interception return for a touchdown at the time. And this one was coming in the same direction right at me, the same end zone. You know, the crowd was rocking, obviously, except for the Philly fan, who I think by this time had pulled the flag over his head in misery, yeah, as guys in the seats behind him were slapping him on the back. So, you know, that was a lot of fun, obviously. But that 14-point swing put the game out of reach, and, you know, the Ravens cruised to a win. Now, looking back, that game may have been the catalyst for some late-season run that got him to the AFC Championship game. Ironically, I was in Pittsburgh for that game, mm-hmm. and I was the visiting fan in misery in Heinz Field as Palomalu returned that pass for a touchdown that essentially ended our season.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I've watched the replay of that touchdown, or the, you know, Ed's touchdown 100 times on YouTube, but it never gets old. You know, and in it, Nakamura was trailing Ed for the last 25 yards or so, and he seemed to be calling for Ed to pitch it, you know, like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and after the touchdown, the camera pans to McNabb on the sidelines watching the replay. And you look at McNabb's eyes and he's kind of saying, you know, I got benched for this.
Yeah, McNabb did not seem to be really upset about that. You got some stuff I need to unpack here, so I need to stop you for a second, Alan. But
yeah.
A couple of things about the play itself, and then I want to go talk about some of the precursor as well. But the play itself was an amazing demonstration of who Ed Reed was as a runner, how dangerous he was after he got the ball. Westbrook, for whatever reason, you know, running back, just couldn't get a handle on him on the sideline. Looked like he had him.
He looked like he had him by the leg, yeah, and he came right out.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds you of maybe Jim Brown dropping a leg or other, you know, powerful running backs who have good contact balance, you know, running right through a tackle like that. And it was kind of interesting to see Nakamura asking for the football, and it would have been about the 1 yard line. He would have gotten the lateral. A lot of people don't remember this about this game. Ed Reed, that was his second interception of the game. The first one, he returned 43 yards, and then he had an illegal forward pass at the end of it. Classic Ed Reed lateral, not completely careful with the football, but hey, it's all worth it because it's Ed Reed. And that the Ravens still retained possession of the field goal, but he ran it all the way down, I think, to about the 6 or 7 yard line before he made this illegal pass, and there were offsetting penalties, and the ball got spotted there, and the Ravens ended up scoring on that drive. But still an unbelievable game in an unbelievable season for Ed Reed, where he had 5 interception games that year, which NFL record.
Well, you know what, I think one of the biggest things I remember about Ed that season, and this might be one of your top plays as well, it was only 2 games after that, the Washington game where he stripped Brunell and took it in for, you know, strip sack and took it in for a touchdown. I mean, that was a classic Ed Reed move there as well.
Somebody should have that play. That was in 2004, actually, but somebody should have that play.
Was it?
And Alan, if you want it, we'll bring you back to talk about that one. That was one of my favorite Ed Reed moments of all time. He had another strip, not of Brunell, but this was a wide receiver, or running back, or something in that 2008 game where he ended up backing into the end zone.
That must have been it. Yeah, I knew it was. I knew he had a touchdown against the Redskins at the time. But yeah, he was awesome that year.
Yeah. Just it's still incredible for me to look back at that season. I know James Harrison had a big year, and I guess I don't even remember who was number 2. Might have been Polamalu, might have been somebody else, but he's 3rd in the defensive player of the year voting that year. How possibly could he be 3rd? 9 picks.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. Because when I'm not podcasting, I am. My day job is a smart home specialist. And the Eufy Video Smart Lock is perfect. This is what you guys need to go get. It replaces the deadbolt on your door. So now you can come home without fumbling with keys. You can just type in a code. Or even better, use your fingerprint to unlock after 1 second. You put your finger there, pops out, my door's open. It's perfect. It also is an integrated video doorbell. We've all seen the video doorbells. We all know the ones that are out there. I've seen many of them get stolen. No one's going to steal this because it's your door lock. It's impossible for them to steal. There's no monthly fee. Other ones do. But this one, it'll record locally, so you never have to pay if you don't want to. The battery, it lasts up to 4 months. Plus, it notifies you ahead of time. And I mentioned earlier, 1 second fingerprint recognition. No, I meant 1 second till it opens. The AI self-learning chip will learn your fingerprint even faster, and then it opens up. Completely keyless entry, no more keys. And I know I set this up as I'm a smart home specialist, but anyone can install this. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. And then you're done. Guys, I love this product. Make sure you check it out. Now, here's the easiest thing to do. Just go on to Google or whatever you prefer and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door, just like me, just like Ken.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
264 return yards. You know, he recovered two fumbles. He caused another. Had a touchdown on a fumble return. None of that made sense. It's one of the greatest turnover years in NFL history. And I have a hard time understanding how he could have been robbed so badly of a second DPOY.
You know, it's funny in that year and in succeeding years, you know, the thought occurred to me often that I think we're taking this guy for granted. I think, you know, and you see him every week, but you just don't realize how spectacular he is until, you know, somebody like that retires and you say, wow, we really never knew what we had, you know, something else.
Yeah. It's one of the things. I mean, there's so many things to love about Ed Reed in terms of his anticipations, his instincts, how he played really faster than his 40 time, all of that. But Ed Reed, in terms of looking for the pick on the overthrow, was unbelievably good. And some safeties, they only have one place that they go to. They go, Deshaun Elliott comes to mind as a guy, and not to beat on him because he's pretty good safety, but he would go directly for the midsection of the receiver, like a guided missile trying to dislodge the football. Well, that's not really a free safety's job. A free safety has to have a lot of measured risk involved in the play, and oftentimes he's playing for the overthrow in a bracket, which usually means you can't really affect the coverage directly, but you're really playing for either a tip or an overthrow to make an interception. We've got that again with Stone and with Williams both. To have two free safeties on the same team who both have that same kind of loose bracket capability is really unusual. So exciting.
Well, yeah, it would be nice to see a real true center fielder again. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's really got the ball skills that Ed had. It's been a while.
We may be waiting the rest of time for that. We may never see another one in our lifetimes. And if he played for the Ravens, it would be the strangest of coincidences. But I'm happy with who Marcus Williams and Stone are. You mentioned the two quarterbacks. I mean, they were both terrible. An odd statistical anomaly from this game. Let me get to it because I want to be making sure I report this correctly. Donovan McNabb played the first half, 8 of 18, 59 yards, 2 sacks for 12. So he dropped back 20 times and they got 47 yards on those plays. 13.2 passer rating. Kevin Cobb came in, similarly awful, 23 plays, 73 yards, 15.3 passer rating. Their combined passer rating was 12.5. Statistical anomaly.
Yeah, he was awful. You know, one other thing about Cobb and that throw. If you look at the throw, he threw off his back foot. I mean, he was throwing as he was backpedaling, and he didn't get a lot on that ball. So I think that had something to do with he didn't have a lot of velocity on it. And I think that's one reason why Ed kind of undercut it.
Yeah. The announcer on TV, I think, really had it correct that he kind of baited him into the throw the whole way, knowing he could undercut it. Yeah.
Ed did a lot of baiting throughout his career.
Yeah, outstanding stuff. You know, the defensive effort by the Ravens, and the 2018 to me is one of the greatest Ravens defensive teams up there with 2000 and 2006 in terms of being truly spectacular. But they only allowed the Eagles one touchdown, and it wasn't on defense. It was on a kickoff return. So,
right, 100 yards. Right, it was 100 yards kickoff return. Remember that.
So, anything else to say about this or the aftermath, maybe of the game in terms of where it went, Alan?
Other than, you know, what I already said was, you know, it just felt like they went on a run after that. I mean, I know they lost another game and whatnot, but they seemed to really start putting people away. And the other game in that season was the Dallas game, which was, that was kind of nuts as well. And they came out of that, the Texas stadium closing party with a win. And it just felt like it, you know, when I went to Pittsburgh after the, you know, for the AFC championship, I thought we were destined. I thought we were just destined to go to Tampa that year. And it was really so surprising when we didn't, but hey, that's why they play the games.
Yeah. Tough loss for the Ravens. We go to all the playoff games. The win at Tennessee was extraordinarily special. It looked an awful lot like that 2000 game in terms of the, you know, beating the number one seed on the road, bunch of turnovers, you know, being part of the component to it, a 7-7 halftime score in both games. I mean, there's so many similarities. It's not even funny. And then they, you know, they beat Miami pretty handily. And then they went to Pittsburgh for the AFC championship and looked like, you know, they certainly had played the Steelers even that year, even though the Steelers had won both of the games.
Right.
And it looked like they had a real chance. We got the news beforehand. The Arizona Cardinals had already won the NFC championship, which really looked like a winnable Super Bowl. And unfortunately, you know, the drive that wasn't, the Ravens got remarkably stayed in the game against the Steelers in that game and were in position then to drive up the field. If it had been a Lamar Jackson, nice, slow death drive, they'd have been in the Super Bowl that year, but it was Joe Flacco. And unfortunately it ended up with interception after just one first down.
Well, you know, we had another Hall of Fame safety take care of us there. So
yeah,
you know, they giveth and they taketh away.
There you go. Well, appreciate having you on, Alan. You're welcome back anytime you like. I'd really love to talk to you about that, the Brunel strip sack. I think that'd be a fun one to do. Tell folks where they can reach out and talk football with you online.
Well, on Ravens, at Ravens Street Report, generally I hang out there. That's basically it.
What's your handle on RSR?
Camden Yard.
Camden Yard. Okay, very good. Well, Alan, really appreciate having you on. If you're other folks out there, maybe some RSR folks, and you're interested in doing a show on that one play, please reach out to me on Twitter. DMs are always open. I'd love to hear from you. I promise I'll get back to you very quickly, and we'll get a quick turnaround on recording the episode. Alan, thanks again for coming on. Really great recollections of this game and some very fond memories from it.
All right. You're welcome.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.